Podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 111. That's 111 of Three Peeps in a Podcast. My name is Patch, and with me, as always, is Rich. Rich, how are you, sir?
It's Sunday evening. I'm just nursing a hangover, well, end of a hangover, so I'm a bit fragile, but yeah, I'm all right. Sat in the car again at my second office. So,
was it a long day yesterday?
No, it wasn't really a day. Just when you start, when you have a few drinks in the evening, then all of a sudden you just find yourself just keep going because you've had a bit of a long week at work. Just caught up me. I'm out of practice a bit, I think. So it's worth it. I had a line. I had a midday line today, so that's all right.
Ah, very lucky you. Very nice. Very nice. So yeah, it's to us today. We've also got a guest, and this guest is a voice that you hear on every episode of this podcast because he actually wrote the theme tune and sang the theme tune, and that is Duncan Kelman. Come in, sir.
That is Dennis Waterman. Hello. Yes. Hi, Patch. Hi, Rich. How's everyone?
You good?
We're doing all right, Duncan. So today, Duncan, you've got an internet radio station, which we'll talk about more in a second. But you did your own little tribute to Mike, who, as we announced on episode 110, had actually sadly passed away on VE Day after a battle with cancer. And that was great, Duncan. And I could tell right at the end there, you almost lost it, and I lost it whilst listening. So thanks very much for that.
Oh no, you're welcome. He's going to be missed. He was. I mean, I know people say, when someone passes away, oh, he's a great guy and all that, and maybe don't mean it quite in the same way. I've got to say, with Mike, he genuinely was a lovely, lovely guy. And to be fair, I only got introduced to him on the podcast. If you remember back in those heady days of just double digits, Patch, when you were on episode 19, that was the very first chance I got to join us on the podcast. You remember that, Rich?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
I don't know. That must have been at least 3 years ago, right?
And probably four.
Was it 4 years? Wow. Okay. Wow. Time flies. And I'd helped you with the Room of Doom podcast and whatever. And it was the first time I'd really met you, Rich, and Mike as well. And I've got to say, we just hit it off straight away. And I've only been on your podcast a couple more times since then, but I got to meet Mike when he was coming into London, and him and I met up for lunch, and I gave him a tour of Canary Wharf and whatever. He was doing some photography. I've got to say, he was a lovely guy. And as I said on the radio show that I did today, I also met Mike recently when he was doing his round the world trip, and I was in Hong Kong at the time doing some business, and we got to hook up. And you know what? We just had a couple of hours. We hung out. We were sat at Hong Kong Harbour. If you remember, you did a podcast as well. It was a bit on the fly, which you were kind enough to play at the end of one of your podcasts as well. And it was just lovely, a really lovely moment. I'm glad I got to share that. And when I was talking about Mike today, I don't know him like you guys do. I mean, you've almost grown up with the guy, right? So I haven't got that level of relationship. But he was such a lovely guy. And it was just a lot of fun hanging out with him. But also it was a lot of fun listening to him on the podcast as well. So the tribute today wasn't necessarily to mourn his loss. It was almost to celebrate his life. I think he's had a really big impact on lots of people, but in particular me.
Mm. Yeah, no, I completely appreciate that. And as you say, he was someone who was very, very easy to get on with. And I think you and me and Rich all share a similar sense of humour, mostly sort of shaped by Alan Partridge and Ricky Gervais. Well, David Brenner, I should say. But it's going to take a while for it actually to hit me, I think.
Yeah.
Although we've had a while to get used to it, Rich, I still can't quite believe it.
Well, no, because, I mean, we didn't see each other over the last year or so when he got his second case of cancer. We kind of didn't really see each other as much as we used to. No, we used to see each other like every couple of weeks, whereas obviously he then couldn't make some of the last podcasts. Obviously, you've had this lockdown as well. So at the minute, to me, it just seems like he's still at home. It's not going to hit me until I can't see him again. You know what I mean? At the minute, we kind of had no choice not to see each other because of lockdown. But when I now haven't got the option to see him now, when I wanted to go and see him, that's when it's going to hit me. It's kind of, do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
Well, I'm sat here in the dining room as our sort of studio, and I sort of half expect you and Mike to walk in at some point, and I've got a coffee ready for you here, Rich, and a squash for Mike.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. When it ain't going to happen, that's when it's going to hit me. Because, you know, at the minute, it still feels like he's at home with his mum, and I'm at home with my kids because I can't go out.
Yeah.
But when I got a choice now to go and see him, that's when it's going to hit me even more. And obviously the funeral as well. That's when it's going to kick in as well.
Yeah, yeah. And these are extraordinary times though as well. I mean, as you've just said there, Rich, you can't have that relationship with someone while we're in lockdown, right? So you weren't able to visit him and see him as well. And this adds another level of dimension to dealing with what's happened, really. And I think, you know, it's important that people recognise the grief as well and don't ignore it. You know, I mean, this is a guy that was clearly loved by you two and by his own family as well. He's going to be missed. The fact is he has gone. And what we've got to do is somehow just recognise the fact that he's had that impact on us. And he's got an amazing body of work. I mean, these are the things that, while it's important you recognise and deal with the grief, you should also look at the body of work he's left behind with you two. 111 episodes with Mike on just about all of them, right? I know there were a couple where I think you had Scott or someone who had that accent. What was his name? Was it Scott?
James, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, it was fantastic. But, you know, Mike had a real presence on the show as well. And I just like the fact that he was always one for the banter with you two as well. And he gave us as much as he got as well, which I always thought added a really good balance to the whole thing. But you know, dealing with losses is a very difficult thing, and it impacts people in lots of different ways, right? The main thing, though, is that you do have to recognise that this has happened, right? And you do need time to kind of reflect on it, mourn his loss a little bit, deal with your personal grief as well. And that could happen at any time. You know, I'll share a story with you. When my grandfather passed, right, and I used to live with my grandparents, it was months and months before I could deal with it. And I would be convinced I could see him on the high street or something like that. And I just forgot that he wasn't there anymore. And it hit, and there was just times where it would just hit you completely out of the blue in the most ridiculous situations. Like something will happen, it will remind you of that moment. But it's important that those moments are recognized as well, that you deal with it, you take that moment, and then it'll give you guys the chance, and us and everybody who's known Mike, to really move forward from this as well. But I think, you know, again, as I mentioned, that body of work that he's left behind, the impact he's had on you two in particular, the fact that he helped you get this podcast up and running is, you know, is a great testament to the man, really.
Mm. And
It's nice in this digital age that we have, obviously I've got loads of photos of us together, and we have got we've got his voice, haven't we? We've got his voice in all these podcasts. He will be remembered in that way. You can always go back and listen to old podcasts. We can always have his memory of his voice. We'll always have his, that's what I was trying to tell his mum. You can always, you know, listen to his podcast. His voice will always be there in the records, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about that today. And, you know, the fact that we could just go back and pick pretty much out of 100 odd episodes, and you could hear his voice, and it's a weird thing in a digital age that you've got that record recorded. You know, many people sort of even 10 years ago wouldn't have that facility. A, they wouldn't have a podcast, you know, and B, you hear these stories about people that save answer machine messages, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, because it's the only record they've got of someone's voice. It is a strange thing, but yeah, as you say, it's something, Duncan, that will hit probably when we least expect it. But just to say, his funeral is actually on the 29th of May at 11 a.m. In Bath, but we are only allowed 10 people at the funeral because of the current situation. But it's something that we will have a larger celebration on hopefully in later in the year and have a bit more of a celebration really of of his life. But what I'd like to do throughout this episode, in between our some chat, I'll read out some messages that people have left on Instagram and Facebook. Sorry if I leave any ones out, but maybe we'll do this over the next few podcasts. But just very quickly on Instagram, Mike was actually quite well known, and a lot of people actually don't know that he was responsible for two Instagram accounts, one called Bits of Bristol and the other one called Street Art Bristol. And some of these accounts have got thousands of followers, and he sort of did it incognito, a bit like Banksy, in that no one actually knew it was him. So there's going to be a lot of people that just don't see new pictures coming through. So on Instagram, a few people that were aware of what he did. I'm just going to pick out a few now. So Mr. James D. Webb, really, really sad news. He was such a good guy. I'm sorry to hear this, and condolences to his friends and family. I worked with Peds for a little while, about 15 years ago, and he was a large presence of a group. I still have fond memories of sharing time with him. We went to a number of gigs together in and around Bristol and shared some good time, drinks, laughs and tears. But sadly, we fell out of contact over the years, something that I will regret. I'll raise a pint to you later. And I just replied saying, no regrets, mate. Cherish these special times. Porth Jess, who is a big player on Instagram in the Igers Bristol, Instagrammers Bristol. Breaking my heart here. I'm so sorry. Rest in peace, Mike. You were the loveliest guy. Always had such a laugh when we bumped into each other and on meetups. It's a constant, really, about the laughs. And as we know from the announcement that I did on VE Day itself, put a little clip in from episode one where it was an example that of the three of us getting together and just literally crying with laughter. And that was after about 2 minutes of pressing record. So it's going to be those times that I'm going to struggle with. And
Do you know what? I remember that podcast really well because you three were just sort of, I think it came about from just an initial conversation, didn't it, Rich? It wasn't planned as such, was it? I think it was just you three knocking around ideas, right?
It was, Patch asked Mike about unsigned bands, and Peddy just said in his kind of flat way, I like music.
Yeah.
And we just made eye contact, and I was laughing, and obviously then that just started, the three of us just corpsing, as they call it. So that was on the first ever episode. So that was like 2 minutes on our first ever episode.
And we never planned to actually...
It was a great start.
We never actually planned to publish that episode. It was more of a get-together and just see how it worked. And clearly, obviously, we didn't have a clue what we were doing with the sound because you couldn't hardly hear you or Mike. Yeah. And it because of that, we decided to publish it. And, you know, it's one of those things that I regretted publishing it for a while because I thought, well, that's the episode one is going to be the one that everyone's going to listen to and think, well, I can't hear that, so I won't bother with future episodes. So it was, but obviously I'm glad we did now because it's quite a legacy to leave.
Wasn't episode one your most listened to podcast? And then since then, it still went downhill. Right?
It started badly.
It started
badly and then it just faded terribly, right? Yeah. Do you know what, though? When you talk about Mike, though, and bands and street art, I mean, when he got in talking about that on the podcast as well, he was definitely his most engaged then. I mean, he clearly loved street art and, you know, we exchanged a few messages on Facebook when I'd be out and about early on a Sunday morning taking pictures of street art. He'd be all over that. And it was really good because he definitely had an eye for it as well. And I think he had some good relationships with a lot of street artists. I remember, was it Jode or something like that? It was on one of the podcasts. Yeah. I mean, you know, he knew his work really well. He interviewed him, you know, with some real depth of knowledge. And I thought that was really good. But the other side of him was the live music as well. I mean, I've obviously not been on to any gigs with him, but I'm assuming you have. I mean, what was he like when you were taking him to gigs was taking you to gigs?
The very first gig I ever went to was with Mike, and that was to see the massive band All Saints.
All Saints, really? Yeah, okay.
Aged about 17 at the Colston Hall in Bristol. But no, he did go to a lot of gigs in the later years. But it was not always, you know, I wasn't always available to go. It wasn't always exactly my scene, but we would always have a thing going where he would say, I'm going to see this band, and he'd tell me the name of the band, and I'd say, have you just made that name of that band up? Because some of the bands these days, like First Aid Kit, Two Door Cinema Club, I was like, where it's like the Tropical Storm. They're just picking them out of a hat, and then it's Katrina one day, and then it's something else the next. These bands that he would go and see. But yeah, he did have a real passion for music, comedy, street art, and photography, and he loved experimenting with food as well. Food was another part of the podcast that he would, he would be really excited to talk about foods from Portugal or whatever. But
But he was also big on travel as well, though, wasn't he? I mean, I remember early on in the initial podcast as well, you experimented with Ped's Places, was it?
We did, indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've forgotten about that. And there was an episode where he spoke about Portugal, and I think after about 10 minutes of him talking nonstop, and not taking a breath, I think I shut him down.
So how did you? So how did you two first meet, Mike? Then what was the?
Well, I went
to the start of your relationships.
I went to school with him. Met. Age 13 in chemistry class.
Right.
So that's where the chemistry started. Ba-da-bums.
Ba-doom-tish.
And then I went to work at Hargreaves Lansdown in Clifton, Bristol, the stockbroking company. I was 21, 22. And there I met Rich. And then after about 5 years of me being there, Mike got made redundant from his job at the RAC. And I got him an interview at Hargreaves, and then the three of us were together there.
Right. Yeah,
just kind of hit it off, didn't we? And used to go to lunch together, and walk around the local, Clifton Down Shopping Centre, or go to Bar Humbug for lunch. Yeah, just hit it off, all three of us. So it continued from there. I mean, I left that company 12 years ago, so that's how long ago it was. So.
And we just kept in touch, obviously, ever since. But talking about those little walks around Sainsbury's and that sort of thing, there was a couple of occasions, one in Sainsbury's and one in Henry Africa's. They may even have been linked on the same day, but we had a giggling fit like we did in episode one, and Mike actually wet himself.
Did he?
Yeah, in Sainsbury's.
I can't remember what it was, but it was probably something so...
It's probably one of Rich's jokes, wasn't it? You know how Rich comes up with beautiful, low-quality dad jokes at the most inappropriate moment as well.
It's probably just one word that someone said, and he lost it and said a little bit of wee come out, as he would say. But
Weren't it in Sainsbury's, Rich, and you went down like the chemist aisle or something and picked out something that was, it was like KY jelly or something like that, and just shout out to Mike, was this what you're looking for, or something like that?
it's probably something on those lines, but every lunchtime is a good laugh, and it was just a pop, it's like lunchtime at school, just go out and terrorize the local shops, kind of. But I was in my 30s then, so I was like, it's just ridiculous.
yeah and have you two always been friends with Peds then, or did you ever fall out at all in that time?
Not really a fallout.
No, there was no everyone has like a little crosswords, but argument. No, but
most of our fallouts happen on the podcast whilst we're recording, to be honest.
Just winding each other up, isn't it?
But they're planned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a football follower at all, right? But I do listen to you guys talking about Bristol City Rovers. And is he Mike a Rovers or Liverpool fan? Also, I can't remember. Liverpool, I remember him saying about he's a little Liverpool, and that seemed to land really badly with you two. What was going on there?
You got to choose your local team, Duncan. You can't be an armchair glory hunter you're Liverpool, Man United fans, Chelsea fans. You got to support your local side, So we kept ribbing him about that. Obviously, he never saw Liverpool. Well, he did see Liverpool live now and again, but we used to just say he's an armchair fan. I used to wind him up mostly. So,
Yeah, I think gave up arguing on that point.
And what's the totally off point though? But what's the tension between Bristol City and Bristol Rovers? Are you in the same league division? What do you call it?
We haven't had a league game with Bristol Rovers for 20 years.
Really?
20 years ago, October 2000 was the last time they were above us at any stage in a season. So since then, October 2000, they've never been above us. So that's always a little fact. I always point out that every child, not there's not one child in Bristol who's ever seen Rovers above City.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Because to me, obviously, once you reach 18, you're not a child, and it's been over 18 years, so not one child knows Rovers above City.
It's just local rivalry, Duncan. I know you're not a big football fan, but you probably understand the rivalry between Celtic and Rangers and Tottenham and Arsenal and that sort of thing. It's just that. But when back in the day when I was going to school and we had City and Rovers, City fans obviously myself, and Rovers fans in the same class, after a derby or before a derby, even then it was. There was a lot of tension and there was a lot of jibing and that sort of thing. But very quickly, you were kicking the ball around in the playground and
making jumping for goalposts, that kind of thing.
yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, exactly. But so, Duncan, let's just talk a little bit about you. As I say, we haven't actually spoke for quite a while.
No, it has been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it has. Just explain a bit about the internet radio show that you've got going on at the moment. Is that something you've just done off your own back for your school, or what was the vibe?
Well, I tell you how it came about. When we were starting to get into lockdown at work, so I work for a bank and I'm based in central London. We were going into lockdown. I was thinking, what would be a good way just to connect with my team? And I was knocking around ideas. I'd seen this sort of internet radio station. I thought that might be quite a good way of doing it. But of course, when you work in banking, you have to work within regulations and such like as well. So it never really got off the ground in the first instance. And then I was just chatting to my son. I said, how would you feel if we did like a radio show together? And of course, he's 11. So he's at the point where he's a moody teenager. So it was an absolutely terrible idea. And he certainly didn't want his dad presenting it. But I pitched it to the PTA. My son's school, he's in primary school. He's in year 6 of primary school. And we spoke to the head teacher and I just said, look, I've had this idea. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I think it might be just a good bit of fun to give the kids a bit of a shout out, get them to choose the songs and do it. And I thought if I do like a couple of hours on a Sunday, it might just work out really well. So I figured out how to do it. The first one was, if you just think about your first ever podcast, I mean, it was just so shabby in a lot of ways, right? I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to mix it on the fly. I was trying to use my Mac for everything. But for some reason, it seemed to just click with the kids. They absolutely loved it. And then I thought, well, I think I know what I'm doing now. So the second week, we did a proper formatted show where it was shout-outs and songs and whatever. And it was meant to be a three-hour show and ended up doing 4.5 hours or something like that. The kids just absolutely loved it. And this was 7 weeks ago I started it. And then it's just been getting better and better from there. So the school get a show every Sunday. And I've got a couple of the parents now involved with it who do little shows before and after the live show. But yeah, all it is just the kids give a little shout out. So it might say, oh, you know, got Rich Brown in for JL wants something from Aladdin or whatever. And it's just really, really good. And the feedback has been that the kids feel connected. They love hearing the names called out, but they also like hearing the names of the people they know at school. Yeah. And it's gone down really, really well. So we do that on a Sunday, but then I still didn't want to drop the idea of connecting my team, which are a global team, with the idea. So we started to do a... Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, there was the Big Night In, the BBC fundraiser? And we put together with a couple of my colleagues from work, we put together a sort of a radio show. We did it twice on the same day so we could cover all the... Because we've got colleagues out in Hong Kong and across Asia and then Europe and then US, Canada and whatever. And we decided to do two shows on the same day, just for an hour and a half, and people could shout out, get a song, if they made a contribution. And we raised, just on one day, about £2,500, wow, which was amazing. But what was even more amazing was just the feedback, the way the team felt connected again, really lovely. They're really feeling quite emotional about it. So we've decided to do it once every 2 weeks on a global rotation so we can keep our colleagues in Asia and it's just been me basically shouting and playing songs, and it's really, really good fun. It's really good. It's stressful. And also, you know, you've got to be able to talk between the songs and get your timing right as well. And it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, we mentioned right at the top of the show about that shout out for Mike as well. I mean, it was a lovely message from you, Patch, just to maybe make that little tribute for Mike as well. And you know what? I was all upbeat when I started and I was kind of trying to be really positive about it. But of course, it affected me a little bit. And the song you chose, Live Forever by Oasis, was such a great tune to dedicate as well.
Mike actually chose that himself. The funeral songs. So Live Forever is actually the one he wants to go out to. That's the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah. But yeah, doing live radio, it's got its challenges, of course. I mean, you're trying to do everything. You're trying to find the tracks and do the shout outs and read out what people are saying and make it sound really interesting when you're talking as well. It is quite an emotional investment as well. I mean, you feel exhausted at the end of it as well.
I'm sure, And having done that today, I was surprised when you said you were up for doing this tonight. So thanks a lot.
Yeah. No problem at all. It's a pleasure.
So just explain the mechanics of it to me. Do you have to have the song on your iTunes? Are you playing it from some stock of some sort?
Yeah. So internet radio, I use radio.co. So that gives you the platform to broadcast over the internet. And you can upload songs onto that and have like set lists and such like playing, which is what I have doing when I'm not on air. But then you need to connect your mixing desk to the internet to play this thing. So I've got a mixing desk on my Mac. It's called BUTT, but, right? But I can't remember what it stands for. Broadcast something. I can't remember what it stands for. And then I use this small mixing desk. And then in the mixing desk, I've got a feed from Spotify to play the song. So I quickly look for them, queue them up, put them in a queue, and then just fade down the Spotify track on my mixing desk and then talk over it and then fade it back up again. While on the other screen, I'm looking at all the requests coming in on Facebook, and then I'm obviously getting requests on WhatsApp as well. So you really have to be focused and organized as well. It's a really good idea to get the songs in your playlist ahead of time. So we start getting requests in an hour before we go live with the show, which takes a bit of pressure off as well. But it's actually reasonably straightforward to do. And trust me, if anybody's listening to this, then realize if I could do it, honestly, anybody could do it. It's really good. And it's just fun. Today's one, again, the kids, we were promoting diversity because obviously where we are in London as well, there's lots of people at school who may not be native to the UK, or the parents may not be. And we just got to hear those songs, and it was such a celebration today. It was really good. So I'll put the playlist together, and I've already shared it. I'll share it with you guys later as well, if you want to share it with your three peeps listeners as well. But it's so much fun. Really good. Really, really good.
How'd you get permission to play the songs then? Do you not?
It's a good question that, Rich. So with radio.co, because it's not free service, I have to pay, and it's quite expensive. It's like £45 a month or something to have just their streaming service. But included in that, you get all the PRS licenses and broadcast licenses included. That's probably why it's so expensive. Good. So it does allow you to play those songs on the on internet radio. So the artists are obviously getting their fees or from Spotify paid or whatever. I wouldn't do it illegally. I couldn't anyway, because obviously I'm broadcasting to primary school and people who are listening to that as well from across the bank that I work for as well.
Well, no, I love the idea. And do you ever watch Mid Morning Matters and then go straight into your radio show?
Do you know what my first you know, when we did the fundraising thing, I actually put a picture of Alan Partridge Mid Morning Matters, right? But I superimposed my face over it, so you can imagine the awkward stance that Alan Partridge has, like he's all kind of upbeat and but he's really rubbish at it. So I've got there's a nice picture of me with Alan Partridge's body and my face in it as well, just to promote the show. But it is hard not to be Alan Partridge sometimes. It really is. I mean, the guy, you know, I know he's a made up character, but he's part of our DNA almost, right? We've grown up with him since, he's been part of our lives, for my life, certainly for like 25 years or whatever. Yeah. And I mean, he's, I just love how awkward he is and how gifted he is at trying to sort of break through a little bit. And I find Alan Partridge a massive inspiration. I don't know if I talk like him on the radio necessarily, but
you don't talk like him enough for my like him on the radio.
No, yeah, yeah. But
I keep expecting to say the time is 25 yeah. to 3. This, well, to your muster stations, please. It's Terry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's not a sauce, it's a condiment. But you know what? I do a bit of that when I'm broadcasting to the guys in my team. I do a little bit of that because they get the joke a little bit. Right. But I'm not sure if kids up to about age 11 or 12 will ever get any of this sense of humour as well. And you know what's also interesting, guys, is the songs kids are listening to now, just about everything's got swearing in it, right? And it's really, really difficult to find clean versions of those songs on Spotify. So we got a song today, Nicki Minaj, right, which inevitably it's going to have swear words in, but I found the clean version of it. And honestly, they might not, I had to stop playing it because I'm just thinking, even though they cleaned it up, you can clearly work out what they're trying to say. And it's just like barely the song was coming through because everything was like dropped down in the mix. It was, well, there was another one as well, like Bruno Mars, right? You just think that's good, solid, wholesome pop funky stuff. No, if you listen to the lyrics, it's actually a bit borderline. So it's one of the tracks I had to just stop playing today, even though it didn't say explicit content on Spotify. It's a knife edge all the time.
And it's all attitude music, isn't it? It's all,
yeah,
you know, aggressive kind of.
Yeah, my son's 11, right? He turned 11 on the 8th of May as well, and I listen to he plays stuff, and it's always like Stormzy. I don't know what you call that style of music, like grime. Grime, rubbish. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. And it is, right? It is rubbish. It's not because I'm that age. It is just rubbish, right? To Drake and it's just the same style of music all the time. But he absolutely loves it. He loves it. He won't listen. Like, if you play anything remotely poppy, he just, oh, Dad, can you turn that off? I was thinking, this is Capital's playlist. It's not that bad. But yeah, he's not having it at all. He's gone very niche and he's already becoming a moody teenager and he's not even in his teens yet.
Blimey.
Yeah, I got one of these.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah. 12-year-old girl. I got a 12-year-old girl and one who's gonna be 16 in 2 weeks. So like,
you've got a 16-year-old, Rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't, wow. Oh. Wow.
9 years old.
Oh hey. Yeah, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm the youngest ever parent. But when she was young, she used to listen to this attitude music and now she's 16, she's kind of listening to like what I call good music now, kind of like, you know, she listens to the Smiths and things like that. They do come back round to listen. I think that age, 11 to 14, that's when they kind of want to listen to the, whatever else they listen to, that, you know, the pop, the charts kind of music, as there is.
Yeah.
They do come back round to a bit of musical education if you keep sticking with it, Duncan. Just keep sticking with it.
I will do. But you know what I mean? You guys know that I'm a pretty active musician as well. And he has got zero interest in either picking up the guitar or bass or ukulele or anything. He's just got no interest. He sort of dabbled with violin because his mate started playing it, and then it just became something that sort of got lodged behind the door, right? I don't think he's that musically inclined. Maybe it'll change, Rich. I've no idea, but
that must be quite frustrating for you, because it's frustrating for me that they don't kind of, obviously nowadays girls play football, but no, they're not interested in any sport. They're not interested in kind of the interest I used to have growing up. So it's quite frustrating, I think. I just got to accept that there are going to be two girls that go out shopping and play games, I guess.
And how are your girls coping with being at home all the time?
Well, the 16-year-old, she's loving it because she ain't got to take her GCSE exams. That's obviously all been voided. So she's had literally 7 weeks holiday at the minute. So she's going straight to college in, September, if it starts in September. And the 12-year-old gets out of bed about 10 o'clock, does a few virtual lessons. And then she's loving it. She's just playing Roblox, or it's called Roblox, on the games with her mates on FaceTime. Yeah. So she's like, they both just think it's a holiday, I think.
Yeah. You know what? It's a relief to hear that a little bit, Rich, because same with my son. He trying to get him out of bed before 10 o'clock was, it's difficult. He does a bit of work and then he's on Fortnite, which he's absolutely obsessed with.
I think when it all first started, we thought we're going to be the best parents. We'll make sure they're doing it. But after 2 weeks of it, I think everyone's just given up and just left them to their own devices, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
But my 16-year-old does miss going downtown on the bus. She does like to go out. She does miss seeing her friends. So she doesn't miss school, but she misses seeing her friends.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Just want to read out a couple more messages before we take a quick break. So Chris Avery on Instagram. Sorry for your loss, guys. Haven't spoke to Mike in a long time, but I've had good memories of chatting photography with him back in the early days of Bits of Bristol. Matthew Price, artist. So sad to hear this. I really enjoyed talking to Mike on several occasions, and we often had long chats during Insta meets, thinking of all of his family during this difficult time. And the Bristol Nomad, who we had on as a guest, probably 10, 20 episodes ago. I'm so sorry for your loss, guys. I know how close you guys were, and he'll be truly remembered by those of us who met him for being a great guy, full of laughter, and a talented photographer. Thoughts to all his friends and family. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to kick into Room of Doom. Thanks for listening.
Patch, Rich and Mike in the tiny room. Tell us what's in your room.
Okay, so that was the Room of Doom jingle by Mr. Duncan Kelly. In fact, we should have got you to do that that live.
All you need to do is go back to episode 19 where you hear me playing that live.
Yeah,
you, Patch, Rich, and Mike did a beautiful doom. You know that low thing. You all did it in unison as well. It sounded fantastic.
Brilliant. Yeah, right, well, yeah. Let's do the Room of Doom then. So, Duncan. What have you got for us?
Well, before we go to the Room of Doom, right, I just want to... I mentioned episode 19. I did have a quick listen to it before we went to record this one as well. And I remember Mike doing a Room of Doom called Foreign Food Accents, right? And I've got to say, it really, really made me laugh.
Okay, my one is... I've got many. I'm going to go with... I like to speak different languages. I can speak Italian and some Spanish, but...
Can you say three peeps in a podcast in Italian?
God, I don't know what peeps is in Italian, because it's not an actual word, is it?
Probably peeps.
Three peeps in a podcast, isn't it?
Donde esta biblioteca, Pedro?
Ah, donde esta biblioteca? Where's the library? Yeah. And I would say, I know how to say in Italian, sempre diritto, which is straight on. But
so what is three peeps in a podcast?
I don't know. Well, peeps doesn't exist, does it?
To say peeps. So what's three?
Tre.
Peeps.
Peeps.
Yeah.
Is all Paris speaking language doing the accent as well? Do you have to do the accent?
You don't actually, because I know someone who speaks Spanish and she doesn't do the accent. She says she can't, but I think she's lying.
Okay. That's disappointing. So for the next episode, can you please work out what Three Peeps in a Podcast is? We'll do the whole episode.
I need to narrow it down to a language, though, Patch.
Yeah, Italian.
Language.
In Italian.
In Italian, okay. All right.
Okay, I'll get back to what I was saying. So it's when. Like I said, I speak different languages, but...
Why don't it
okay. Okay.
Showing off.
Clearly not.
I would challenge that a little bit. I'm not sure if you really do.
I can say that.
I can say such things as, malgrado il fatto che più avevo giocato calcio lo stesso.
Yeah, but as we don't speak languages, you could be saying anything.
Well, right? Someone that speaks Italian, let me know. what I said was, despite the fact that it's raining, I played football. All the same.
So you're lying in a different language?
No.
Well, you were playing football, were you?
No, okay, so I'm lying, yeah. What I don't like is when people pronounce foodstuffs in an accent. I like things to be pronounced properly. So when not in the accent, but like people say chorizo. It's not chorizo, it's chorifo. But if you say, you're in an Italian restaurant and you say, oh, hi there, can I have a spaghetti carbonara? I don't like that, you don't need to say that. You just say, can I have a spaghetti carbonara, please?
So this... Or just point to the menu.
Yeah, it's like number 26.
That's what I tend to do.
Yeah. One of them.
So there was all that stuff. But there was a TV show, and the host was Welsh. She did have Italian in the family, but she would do exactly that thing. She would say...
I've seen that probably.
Yeah, she'd be like, okay, well, welcome to the show. Today we're going to do a spaghetti carbonara. Yeah. and then after that, we're going to do some gnocchi.
And interestingly,
don't need to do the accent.
About
what
three
saying.
Weeks ago, I was talking about that very same point with someone I was working with. You know where you've got someone who's got a normal English accent, but they'll say spaghetti or ravioli or something like that. Do you remember him talking about this one, right?
Yeah.
And I hear it now, since he mentioned it, I've heard it so many times on TV. And I was just talking to someone the other day about it, and I just burst out laughing because I was thinking about that time where he did foreign food accents, right? And it really did crack me up. And the problem is, because it's there in my subconscious, I can't not hear it anymore. This is the thing. So when you hear someone going, you know, tagliatelle, oh, I'm saying Italian, right? I mean, it could be anything like, but Spanish, you know, chorizo or whatever, but they're not from there. They're putting that accent on it. It really does make my toes curl a little bit. So, yeah. Anyway, but that's not my rumour doom. My rumour doom for this episode is, you know, when you're on YouTube and unless you've got like premium, you get the adverts before a lot of the YouTube clips, right? And I pretty much watch everything on YouTube now. And it's those first adverts you get, like, you know, 3 months ago, I was £300,000 in debt. And now, look at my dream. Like, you know, do you know the ones I mean? I don't know if you get them, but I seem to be targeted with these aspirational lifestyle kind of motivational adverts where you can be debt free or you can be traveling the world and only work 3 hours a week by following this Amazon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You get the adverts. What annoys me now, you get two adverts now. It used to be one, now it's two.
It's two adverts, yeah. Yeah, so maybe those inspirational kind of videos, which are clearly scams, right? You know, I bought this iron for $10 and I sold 5,000 units within 3 days and I didn't have to buy a single product. You know, those kind of things. It's those kind of ads driving me nuts. But yeah, actually, I think my rumor zoom is now YouTube doing those inspirational ones, but also doing two adverts before you even get to the video you want to watch.
Yeah. How do they get through the YouTube barricades?
Yeah, I don't know, Patch. I mean, there's one, it sounds like an English woman, but she might be living in New Zealand, who talks about this kind of lifestyle she's got now in New Zealand, thanks to Amazon, following this three-step process or whatever. Mm. And the problem is you can't avoid them. This is the thing, because a lot of them, most of them you can skip, but a lot of those you can't, right? You have to watch the first 15 seconds or whatever before you can get to it. Yeah. It drives you nuts. Yeah. And I shouldn't be so thrifty. I should actually just buy a premium one. It's not that expensive, but sometimes the adverts are quite nice as well, right? You do get some good ones where you just think, oh, that's actually quite interesting. But yeah, it's that kind of stuff. But yeah, I wonder how they do it. I mean, there must be some algorithm behind it as well that probably... Yeah,
is it your search history? Or is it like... Because obviously you can discuss something with your mate and next minute that advert pops up on like Facebook, things like that.
Do you know what, right? Someone was telling me about this about 2 weeks ago and I'd never noticed it before, but I was looking for like gardening equipment or something like that, like a shovel or a rake or something, I can't remember. And I was on, and someone told me about that. And then suddenly I started seeing adverts on, I don't go on Facebook at all these days, but, you know, I was on Google or I was on something or other. And I'm seeing adverts for like Spear and Jackson shovels or whatever. And I'm just thinking, I haven't typed that in at all.
Yeah,
it's probably
happens.
Just been picked up off Alexa or off your phone or whatever. So there is no doubt in my mind that you are getting listened to, not even what you're searching. So maybe I talk a lot about having an aspirational lifestyle where I only have to work 4 hours a week, 4 hours a day. But I'm in banking, so yeah, I'm in banking. So you know, that's 4 hours is 3 hours more than everybody else.
It's definitely linked. You know, it might even be what you search for or whatever, but. Yeah, this morning I was looking at TVs. I've got a headline appeared in the corner of my, or all the way down one side of my TV, which is when it's a dark image, it shows up. But it's starting to get on my nerves. Anyway, went on Facebook after searching TVs and looking on John Lewis and stuff. Went on Facebook and like I was scrolling through my newsfeed. Every fifth thing was an advert for a TV. There's definitely something linked there.
Yeah, it's cookies, I'm sure, and it's also what you're being, how your apps and phones and Alexas and whatever are listening to you. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. So,
worrying.
Yeah, you just need to be very careful.
Be careful what you chat about, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
right, so I'll go next. My rumor of doom. So, don't get me wrong. The world we're living in at the moment, we're relying on delivery men such as Amazon delivery. Like every other day, I'm getting something through from Amazon. But there was an incident earlier in the week where I had a knock at the door at 6:56, I think it was, and my front door has got like a knocker on it, which makes a really loud noise. And we'd had a late night and the kids were still asleep. So there's loud noise and I just woke up obviously then. And we've got a buzzer, which buzzes in the top room. But it's like a really loud buzzer where we sleep. And I thought, oh God, what's that? And I left it. And then it was bang, bang, bang again, buzzer, buzzer. At this point, I can hear the kids starting to stir and I ran downstairs. And the worst thing was, it was a parcel for next door.
Oh, no.
That's ridiculous.
So next door hadn't answered, so he thought, right, we'll wake the neighbour up as well. I was absolutely livid. I didn't realise it wasn't for me until I looked at it. He just sort of saw me open the door, waved, as they do at the moment, and got back in his car, drove off. I picked it up, and it was for next door.
So, hang on, Patch. You're angry about everything all the time anyway. So, are you putting in the room of doom here? The fact that they buzzed your door or they left a package for next door?
Taking parcels for neighbours.
Taking parcels. Neighbors. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Top tip, everyone. Don't live next door to Patch.
How long did you wait before you knocked next door to give it to them? Did you knock immediately or did you wait to a...
I should have done, shouldn't I?
Yeah. You should have wet them up as well.
Yeah, but in this current world, everyone's at home anyway. But when I used to work from home Mondays and Fridays, then that was fine because I was like the postal service for the whole street, which did get on my nerves a little bit at times. But anyway.
Well, that's your fault for trying to be Mr. Nice Guy instead of actually just letting your true colours.
There's an episode of King Gary about that, Patch. I don't know if you've watched it yet, King Gary. But
I didn't really enjoy King Gary, Rich.
You need to get into it. You need to watch it more.
Yeah.
Don't just judge on the first 10 minutes.
No. I'm genuinely saying I did enjoy it.
Oh, you did enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you said you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. So nice.
This bloody Zoom, and it keeps going out. But I really enjoyed it, and so did Vic. So that was a big hit, that one, Rich.
Oh, excellent. Did you see the when he's collecting parcels for his neighbour?
Yeah, and wasn't it a kitchen as well?
Yeah.
A whole kitchen.
Yeah, it's quality.
It's getting worse and worse. But yeah, no.
If anybody's listening to this, they're just getting spoilers now. I mean, I've not seen this show, but have you just spoiled it for...
No.
Literally tens of people that are listening to this podcast.
Tens of thousands.
No.
But yeah, King Gary Duncan is Tom Davis. I don't know if you know him by name, but you'll definitely recognise him. But yeah. King Gary on BBC iPlayer. It's worth watch. It's easy to watch comedy. I mean, if my wife laughed at it and she's a miserable bitch, so.
All right, you better just bleep that out and say she's always happy and upbeat, Patch. Maybe put that in post-production, right?
I'll leave that. Rich, what have you got for us?
Right, my room of doom, I don't really do Facebook anymore, but I did venture on around my birthday time to see what, obviously self-indulge myself with messages. And also now I'm quite bored, so I do stumble onto Facebook. Is these 10-day challenges, pick up your favourite albums one a day. And this new one now is being a mum challenge, picking a photo up. How is picking a photo up a challenge? Like, anyone can do it. It's not, why is that difficult? But so my whole feed now is full of, if you like football, pick a picture up of football. Don't say anything about it. Don't tag it in. There's albums. There's mum challenges. There's feeling happy. Just pick a photo up. Don't tag anybody in. Don't describe where it is. Just, it's like, what? This is just boring me. So that really, it's Facebook again. I should never go back on it. Really,
and Rich, that's always been a problem for you, isn't it? It's like a stone in your shoe, Facebook as well. I mean, I haven't posted anything on my feed now since January the 1st, 2019. For the very same reasons that you talk about it on the podcast, it's always the same. If you're, what flower are you? Or, all these inspirational quotes, like people who, the last to speak are the ones that are in the most pain, all that kind of stuff. And it's those cryptic messages as well, where they say, oh, I've had a terrible day. And everyone goes, oh, what's up, love? And all that kind of stuff. And it's, and that's the reason that I don't go on it anymore. I really don't. I've got no time for it at all because it doesn't add any value.
It annoys me that I go on it, but I annoyed myself that I go on it. I mean, the stuff on it annoys me, but I'm annoyed myself for going on it. And
yeah,
I'm scrolling through it going, fuck's sake, but I could easily just switch it off. So I'm mad at myself a little bit as well. So.
Yeah.
Rich's rant.
Yeah, he went from rumour doom to Rich's rant there, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, I killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah, he may as well.
Right. Okay. Let's take a vote then. Let's recap. mine is taking parcels for neighbours at unsociable hours. Rich's is Facebook challenges. And Duncan, summarise yours to me.
It's these inspirational adverts you get before YouTube.
Absolutely. Right, okay. I'm going to go for Duncan because it's nothing more frustrating when you just want to watch a YouTube video, and it has to be a pretty good one or something that you really want to watch for me to get through 15 seconds of adverts to then skip. So Duncan gets my vote. Duncan?
I was going to go with Rich, but to be honest, Rich is entirely to blame for his anger and his upset. So, if you can't really rip the plaster off, you're never going to get through that pain, Rich. So I'm afraid I can't vote for you, Rich. It's your fault.
That's fine.
But also, I'm a little bit irked that, Patch, you've ranted about really trying to be a decent person for your neighbourhood as well. But I think out of the two, yours probably should edge towards the Rumour Doom.
Thank you. Rich?
Right, two things, Patch. A, you weren't going to vote for me anyway because you do the thing I'm annoyed with on Facebook. Plus, that parcel, if it was for you, would you have been all right? Is it just the fact that it was for a neighbour? If it was for you at step 5 to 7, would you have been happy? You wouldn't have minded opening the door that early for your own parcel?
I hadn't thought about this.
I didn't realize it was 5 to 7 in the morning. Are you not even out of bed at five to seven?
That'd be daft.
What? Really?
I've got a 1 minute commute to the office now.
Oh, that's true, yeah. What about your government allotted daily exercise, though? Is that something you just choose not to have?
No, I do that at lunchtime.
Do it at lunchtime, do you? Yeah, okay.
Or during the day. I'm trying to take one of my calming measures is to actually take conference calls on the road, walking, as long as I haven't got to refer to anything. But yeah, top tip for people there. Rich,
yeah.
I'm going to vote for Duncan anyway, because I don't ever take parcels for neighbours anyway. But another thing that annoys me with adverts on YouTube, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Say you've got like a bad, like say your Wi-Fi's not working or something like that. The adverts seem to work, and then the video you're trying to watch doesn't work. I don't understand how the advert with no Wi-Fi, whereas the video you're trying to watch just buffers and buffers. So yeah, I'm going to vote Duncan anyway because I can't stand his adverts.
When you say you don't take parcels for neighbours, is that, have you got a sign up on the door or?
No, I'm not usually there. I'm usually at work, but I'm yet to kind of have a parcel that early in the morning, or B, I'm usually at work, so Kirsten take the parcels anyway. I mean, we live in a little cul-de-sac, so we didn't get many people who aren't in, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Well, Duncan, you are this week's winner.
Fantastic. A worthy winner, I think you'll agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you do venture into YouTube Premium, or YouTube Red, as it's known in the States, there's a very good series, Cobra Kai, which is like 30 years on from The Karate Kid, which was actually very good.
Actually, Patch, what are you talking about? I put you onto that when it first came out.
Did you?
Are you just trying to take credit for everybody else's work? Is that how it works?
That's what you taught me to do back in the
day.
Well,
absolutely. Yeah, well, actually, I'll take that as a compliment then. Yeah.
Never check your facts.
Mirror ball. You're a mirror ball, Patch. You just have that one little bit of information and project it out to everybody else, right?
I don't remember, but yes, it was very good. But yeah, so how come you've seen it then? If you haven't got YouTube Premium, or did you stop the trial?
No. If you remember, I did for a while get it, but if you remember, the first two or three episodes were available.
Oh yes,
on YouTube without, and that's when I sent you the details of it, because. Again, if we just go back to episode 19, which is considered, I think you'll agree, out of the canon of work, probably one of the best episodes where I happen to be on it as well. One of the things that kept on coming up from Peds and from Rich as well is your consistent Karate Kid pose.
Yeah.
So it was always like some maroon gilet that you were wearing, and you were always doing Karate Kid poses. And I remember Rich saying, and you got it. Listeners, it's well worth listening back to episode 19 because it really is funny as well. Because I think Rich and Mike just really attacked you on that one, Patch, as well. I remember Rich saying something about your maroon face as well, and you just really you were really struggling to deal with the sort of comebacks as well. So I think Rich and Mike were definitely on form that night.
I'm definitely going to listen back to that.
Patch went for an era of having photos of that, him kind of doing a Karate Kid pose everywhere, or the Tower of, was it?
Tower of London.
What's it called? Not Tower of London, the London Bridge, wasn't it?
London Bridge.
No, Tower Bridge.
Tower Bridge, yeah.
What's the Tower Bridge one? What's that?
He used to have a photo of it every time he went to London. Just just inundating his public with.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
We stayed in the Tower Guillemin Hotel right next to Tower Bridge. And the first time I looked out my window, I thought, oh, there's a lovely picture of Tower Bridge. So I took a picture, put it on Facebook. Then I did the same the second time. And then I thought, right, I'm going to do this for time. And someone's going to pick up on it. And obviously Rich did.
That's my job.
So, Rich, have you got a separate rant, or have you sort of just gone off Room of Doom as a rant?
Well, I guess because I've been at home for 8 weeks, nothing's really rattled my cage because
you're not to socialise, have you?
I'm not dealing with the general public anymore. So,
other than the family and the dog.
Oh, then they're not annoying me. Actually, we're getting on a lot better than we used to, I think, as a family. So I don't know what that means, but.
Blimey.
No, I got nothing to rant about. I've done a lot of jobs around the house. Kristen's been in at work. The kids have been all right. They've been, chilling out, like I mentioned earlier. So, always good. Always
so, Rich, have you been, when you've been doing jobs around the house, what is it, shirtless with a tool belt around, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, like,
holding a kitten, that kind of thing, right?
Is it in the buff, they call it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a bit of grease under each eye kind of thing. Just like a carrying a tyre around the house.
Yeah, carrying tyres, yeah.
And a red neckerchief just around my my neck.
Guys,
yeah, I've got a couple more messages I want to quickly read out, and then we're going to come back with a random question from me. So Helen Isbell on Instagram. I'm so sorry to hear about Mike. My thoughts are with you all. I first met Mike at a Bristol Instagram event. I've just finished chemotherapy myself. He spoke to me openly about his treatment and made me feel comfortable to talk about my feelings at a time I was really struggling. Thank you, Mike. John Nation on Facebook. RAP Mike, such a great guy. Met him when he joined me on one of my Bristol street art tours a few years ago. He then took a real shine to the culture and he launched an Insta account off the back of this. Such a shame, so young. Sleep tight, Mike. Thoughts go out to his family and friends. There's loads of messages, guys, on Instagram and Facebook on the Three Peeps page. So please do have a look and feel free to leave a message in there. One thing I should mention.
What I was going to say as well, when I put on, obviously, the day he died, V-Day, Friday, I put like goodnight pets on the Facebook. And I started doing some work. I went back onto my Facebook, and the amount of messages is that people I don't know, kind of, you think you know Peds and always mates, you know, he was quite a. I didn't realize that so many people knew him, kind of thing. That kind of got me really emotional. I was like sat on the doorstep, kind of crying, because there's really these messages of people I don't know, but know him. And I saw his mum recently. And I said, I'm going to show these messages, like, you know, further down the line, because you just take great heart from how many people Mike did touch that I didn't know Mike knew, kind of thing. So, Facebook, that's one good thing about Facebook. It just let people leave some wonderful messages, obviously, ones you've been reading out.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he touched me. I didn't realize he knew so many people and touched many people in a good way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So one thing I want to just say that we've done is we've created, with the help of Ian Starr from Sijo Creative, Sijo Creative. We literally on Friday last week, I called Ian and said, I think it'd be a good idea to do a T-shirt. That people can buy, and the proceeds, less costs, would go to St. Peter's Hospice, which is Mike's chosen charity. And Ian knows Mike really well from school as well. And he said, no, I want the whole £15 to go to charity. I'll cover the costs of the T-shirt and the print and everything. So just want to say a massive thank you to Ian Starr. And I'm hoping we don't actually sell too many T-shirts because he's probably going to regret that. But we'll see him right between us. But
the
T-shirts are, they're quite frankly, the design that he's come up with all by himself within 3 hours was amazing. He basically called it Three Peeps in a Pedcast, the T-shirt. He's got Mike Pedley, but the Ped is in street art sort of font, which is Mike right up his street. I'm sure he'd love it. It's got You Never Walk Alone on the back, which obviously he was a Liverpool fan, and that's the sort of slogan. Mike Pedley on the arm, and it's an absolutely fantastic T-shirt. We've actually sold 30 T-shirts already, which is a great effort. If you want to get that, we've actually partnered up with Longwell Records. Obviously, we've had them on the podcast as well. I say them, him, Ian. And he is selling them for us on his website. So go to Longwell Records, look at his catalogue of shirts. He's got some great shirts on there as well, so please do buy those as well. But our T-shirt is going to be showcased on there for the next month. So if you haven't done already, have a look and grab one, and just rest assured that you'll be making a donation to Mike's charity. Rich.
Excellent. Great cause. Great. Yeah, like you said, Ian, that's amazing. Well, great design. I've seen it. It's a great design. It's wonderful that he's covering costs, but obviously if it gets too much, we'll obviously chip in and everything. But a great cause. Brilliant. No, well, you obviously, I guess you thought of it, Patch. I think it's brilliant. I think between you, Ian, and Lomel Records, his mum would love that, and Peds would have loved it. And oh, it's just amazing. It's like kind of quite emotional, really, when I saw it. But mine's on the way, hopefully. So yeah. I'm losing it a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a very nice design. I think it was really carefully crafted as well. I think it really does commemorate Mike really positively. And I think the fact they've added the street art elements to it as well, I think it's a great reflection on his interest as well. So great idea. And you know what? The money's going to an amazing cause. Was Mike in the hospice then?
They were looking after him.
They were, yeah.
The last months, I don't know exactly the details, but
yeah,
they towards the end they were coming in the night, in the day, and all that.
Yeah,
he actually was at home, which he wanted. They managed to sort out a proper bed for him and a proper chair and all of that sort of stuff. So they are a big charity in the Bristol area. Joe Sims, who's been on the show a few times, Bristol actor, is actually hosting a quiz for St. Peter's Hospice on Wednesday on Facebook. There's details of that on our Three Peeps Facebook page. So if anyone wants to join into that, it's a £5 entry fee, and that all goes to St. Peter's Hospice as well. So lots of chances to donate money that hopefully we've all got a little bit more of in these times, certainly for fuel costs and things like that. So, for your week's commute, you can buy a T-shirt and go to the quiz on Wednesday. So get involved.
When you have your, I forgot what they call it now, the commemorative event, there's a name for it. I forgot what you call it.
Wake.
Not awake, no, it's not what I mean at all. It's because obviously I know it's going to be difficult just while we're in lockdown as well to kind of get people together, but there will be a point where everyone can get together. And I forgot, I just can't think of the word at the moment, but wouldn't it be cool if we got everyone attending that event wearing one of those T-shirts? I think that'd be that'd be really, really good. So knowing that everybody can remember him that way as well, but also wearing a shirt, but also knowing that that shirt is making a difference to other people's. Well, as they come to the end of their lives as well, it's making them much more comfortable, and it's a very worthy cause. And considering it's in the very heart of the community that you guys are in as well, I would say that even if you don't ever wear the T-shirt, I think it would be a great thing to just buy and own as well. And I think we need to thank the designer for that as well. It's a beautiful piece of work, really nice.
It is, yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, massive thanks to Ian Starr, Sijo Creative. So I've got a question for you guys, and it might be one that you've had a chance to think about, and it's what three things will you do first when we are out of isolation and then when we are out of social distancing?
Well, I think I think my hair is getting a bit long. I've not cut it since I've been in lockdown. So I think the first thing I need to do is just get that addressed, really. And you know what's interesting, guys, is that obviously I live in London, right? And loads of barbers are open, right? This is the thing. They shouldn't be. I was out on my motorbike today and I could see probably two or three barbers open. But what I'm also seeing are cardboard signs with marker pen on it saying mobile hairdresser, here's a number. It's staggering how sort of little credence they're giving to the actual law of social distancing. So I'm not getting tempted by that. I'm also not tempted by just getting the clippers out either and just doing it myself. So probably a haircut.
Are you sort of wearing it as a badge of honour now, your hair?
Yeah, a little bit. But there's also a bit of me just thinking, I've not had long hair since I was like a teenager, right? And it's just kind of, admittedly, I don't have jet black hair anymore, right? Which is a bit of a shame. There's a lot of grey in it, which I had no idea. When it's short, you kind of don't notice it. You certainly notice it when your hair's a bit longer. That's for sure.
You have jet black hair and ice white shoes.
Ice white and double cadet action flash, right? Shows a man in control. Is everyone going to get that rather obscure Alan Partridge reference? Partridge in Paris, isn't it? Yeah. one of my favourite clips, that, isn't it? Yeah, all French people go around going, okay, oh, hee haw, hee haw, right? So, but do you know what? You were talking about saving money, Patch, and luckily where I work, I've got this. I work in this new place called WeWork, right, in Waterloo. It's really terrific, and you get free coffee and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, there's money you're spending just on buying coffee and whatever. And I've not had a barista-made coffee now for about 8 or 9 weeks. And I was out on my motorbike, and I saw a cafe today just doing takeaway coffees. And I normally have an oat milk flat white, and I had it today. And I'm really not exaggerating. It was one of the nicest coffees I think I've ever had in my life. And I suspect it's because I've just not had one for so long. Yeah. The flavour and the texture and everything was just really lovely. So I've got to say, it was a really lovely treat to just have that barista made coffee today as well. It was expensive though, £3.50, unless they were just sort of bolting on more money, because all it is just flavoured milk essentially, right? But so maybe just not, you know, having a barista made coffee, I think is something I'm looking forward to as well. What's the third thing though? Travel, getting around again, just being in town, just seeing people. I think that's really what I miss more than anything. I desperately miss my colleagues at work. And I think because of the nature of the work that I'm in as well, it's a very creative space. You know, a lot of it happens in the moment as well. And it's very difficult when you're working remotely and are on Zoom or because everything has to be kind of planned, doesn't it? You can't really just ring someone up out of the blue hoping they're going to be around. It's kind of, you've got to be a bit more organised. And I think I'm looking forward to just having that time back again, that sort of chance to interact with people without having to plan it.
Yeah, I'm with you definitely on the coffee one. We heard that Costa drive-through, which we've got two of in Bristol, were open this weekend. So we drove there, and unfortunately they just closed. So I was looking forward to doing a drive-through at Costa. But
you can get those ones in the Budgens down the road from you, Patch, like £2 a month. Yeah, you've got the machine one. Not as good, but
not quite. I'm willing to wait for a proper barista poured one rather than.
Well, I bought a milk frother ages ago, just from Aldi, a cheap one a few years ago, and I'm slowly kind of getting myself a nice cappuccino sorted out. It's only with instant coffee, but I'm getting that balance right between the coffee and the frothy milk. So that's not too bad. That's keeping me going, but yeah.
But even
I look forward to a proper coffee.
Yeah, even I've got an espresso machine with like proper capsules. It's still just not the same. You can't get a decent coffee, but not like a quality coffee from a £60 machine versus a £1,000 barista machine. Prove me wrong, Nespresso, if you're listening. So the other thing for me is a freshly poured pint. From a tap in a pub. I really do miss that. Even though I'm drinking rather a lot from cans and bottles, a freshly poured pint. I actually did get a keg. I've got a 9-pint keg from the Old Bank Tavern, friend of the show. Got one of those to try out. I'm going to get that out on Wednesday and see if I can get my kicks from that. And obviously football as well. Mega missing going to watch football, and that's not going to happen in the near future, probably for the rest of the year, but that's not something that you can easily replace for me. Rich?
Me? I do miss football, but at the minute it just feels like we're in between seasons. It just feels like we're in the summer and season's finished, so I do miss it. I miss male company, not in that kind of way, but having just chat like, to the pub with a couple of mates just chatting rubbish rather than being at home chatting about kids and homework, things like that. Give my mum a big hug. I want to give her that. Yeah. Totally opposite to Duncan. I don't miss the office one bit. I'd happily work from home for the rest of my life because I do not like I don't like the people I work with. I don't like office noises. I don't miss the bings and the bongs and dings and the dongs. from people's laptops or people chatting about their kids or just chatting. I'd happily work from home, so I didn't miss that. I don't want to rush out this lockdown. I quite enjoy this lockdown. I quite like the peace around. I quite like, if I do go for a walk, people are polite to each other. People are saying hello to strangers that don't usually happen. I think that's kind of been a good thing about this lockdown. I don't think we should rush back for the sake of it. I don't miss a lot. A pub visit is what I want to go back to. Chat with some mates and see me mum, really.
Yeah.
I'm not feel guilty if I'm out and about.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I worked from my parents the last two Thursdays, just sat in the garden. They got a nice big garden, and I can get on their Wi-Fi, and it's all nice. And I sat there on the first Thursday I did it, and it was literally, I could not hear a noise. And, you know, in a house with two kids under five, I could be anywhere in the house, and I can still hear a door being kicked in, or a scream, or a cry. or a thud that I just think that's something I'm going to have to replace.
That's just fixed.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and that's worked out really well. And I've sort of cut their grass, do something like that, and still social distancing. So yeah, no, I can appreciate all of the things you guys have said there.
Yeah. So, by the word, the word I was looking for was memorial.
Ah, right.
Yeah. I couldn't think of it at all. But yeah, that's what we should do. Is when we do Mike's memorial, is that's when we should wear all the t-shirts.
So, no, definitely. Yeah.
So
definitely.
I don't know if it's going to be possible, but Mike would have turned 40 in September. I think the 25th or 28th. I have to look. This year.
25th.
Whether we can do anything, then that would be the time. If we can, if not, we'll have to wait. But that's the plan in my head.
Will they be streaming the funeral service patch or?
The funeral will be available to stream, so we'll send that to just sort of close friends to be able to see that. But me and you will be there, and Duncan, obviously, I'll send that to you if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
We'll watch that, Duncan. Just very quickly, we've got 4 minutes left. What's the latest with your music? Obviously, not in lockdown, but prior to lockdown, what's going on with your Coa Sound?
Yeah, well, Coa Sound, after 7 years, it just came to a natural end. The lead singer we'd got, Sophie, is an actor. She'd picked up some acting work, and the drummer was no longer available to play for us. I think he's gone back to Spain. So that's gone down. That's gone. But I've I'm working with a new singer and a percussionist, and we were just getting ready to do some gigs. It's just me on acoustic guitar, and then the other two, one on percussion, the other one on vocals. And really lovely. I did a couple of gigs at the Ukulele Cabaret as well, which is a lot of fun. But yeah, lockdown has unfortunately locked us out, so we can't rehearse. And the problem is you can't use Zoom to rehearse either because it's got the latency on it. So you can never be in sync. So unfortunately, we'll just sort of regroup when we can, really. But interestingly, I've played the bass on a COVID-19 charity record, which is actually coming out next week. So what I will do is, when the video is done, I've heard the audio today. Fantastic job as well. It's my friend Trevor who's written the song, and I'm playing bass on it as well. So we've got that coming out. So I'll be happy to share that with our listeners as well. It's a great song.
Awesome. And 6 months-ish ago, you were in a music video as well. How did that come about?
Oh yeah, wow. I was in a rap video. Well, it seems a shame that I've only got a couple of minutes left, but I was on Ant and Dec, if you remember, about 2 years ago. I think it was on Saturday Night. What's it called? Saturday Night Takeaway.
Yeah, Rich loves
it. It was a lot of fun. 2 days work for 20 seconds on TV, which was great. But yeah, I got a call out of the blue. Someone had spotted me playing ukulele on Instagram. I think I was doing that Havana song, you know, that Latin song, and I was just playing over the top of that. And I got a call from this rapper saying, oh, we need someone to play ukulele on a rap song. I went, and you get paid and it's in a video. Do you fancy doing it? And I went, yeah, all right. So I turned up, played, and it's genuine. I'll share the link. And how about this for a coincidence? The artist is called Ant Deco, right? but it's, you'll see me at the beginning of the video, hanging in the background, playing some sort of Latin ukulele type thing with a violinist. Yeah, it's good fun. But you get all these little gigs from time to time, and you get paid for it as well, which is good.
Brilliant. Guys, we're going to have to go. We're at the end of our Zoom allotted time, and I don't want to lose the recording. So we will speak again soon. Thanks for listening, everybody. And don't forget to check out the T-shirt and check out episode 19 as well. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Duncan.
Thank you.
Cheers, Duncan.
Bye, everyone.
Take care, mate.
And you. Take care.